brief with it as I know how. I told the folks over at Brother Griffith's the other day, I've got three messages I preach longer and longest. And sometimes they're longest. Amen. But Song of Solomon again today, as we're preaching through this book on Sunday morning, is the Song of Solomon chapter number 7. A mysterious book to many, but a blessed book to the people of God as the Holy Spirit will unfold it to us. And I trust God will give us some direction and leadership here in the house of God this morning. When you find that place, let's stand together and we'll read our text. And for the sake of reading the Scripture, I'm going to be preaching out of verse 13, but I want to read verses 10 down through verse number 13. Where the Bible said, I am my beloved's, and His desire is toward me. Keep in mind now, this is the bride, the church. This is you and I speaking concerning our Lord Jesus and our love for Him. She says, come, my beloved, let us go forth into the field. Let us lodge in the villages. Let us get up early to the vineyards. Let us see if the vine flourish, whether the tender grapes appear, and the pomegranates bud forth. There will I give thee my loves. Amen. The mandrakes give a smell. Now, I'm not going to preach on those mandrakes this morning, but I'll identify them in the night service. A long time, I'll be honest, without looking, I thought it was some kind of a fowl. But it's not. It's a fruit. Amen. A wild fruit. It says, the mandrakes give a smell, and at our gates are all manner of pleasant fruits, new and old, which I have laid up for thee, O my beloved. Let's pray. Our Father, I'm thankful, Lord, for the privilege of being in the house of God. Thank you for people that are here today and, Lord, a listening ear. I thank you for the presence of Christ, the good songs that we've sang, the jubilant spirit, Lord, what I feel in my heart and soul today. I pray you'll comfort those that are grieving this morning. God, that you'll bless those that are here, and Lord, that you'd strengthen the faith of all, that you'd save sinners, and may the name of the Lord Jesus this morning be glorified. I do pray for spiritual help this morning, for an endowment of power that can only come from God. I pray for liberty, Lord, to say everything that you've laid upon my heart. May I do it this morning, Lord, in a pleasing way to thee. I ask you now to touch us and help us, anoint the service with your presence, and give divine deliverance. And we'll thank you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. I want to call our attention this morning to verse number 13. It's where we'll find our thought and try to draw your attention to and some thoughts from in the morning hour. Where Solomon, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says the mandrakes that give a smell at our and at our gates are all manner of pleasant fruits. New and old. Now, notice the next statement that the little bride makes. She says, which I have laid up for thee, O my beloved. If God would help me for a little while this morning, I believe that He might. I hope He does. And if you'll give me your undivided attention, I want to preach for a little while on the thought of laying up treasures for Christ. She said, which I have laid up for thee, O my beloved. Not somebody else, but for Him. Her life was spent not for somebody else, but for Him. A life that was spent not only giving God the eternal glory for what He had done, but a life that was spent in expectancy of that which is to come. Amen. You know, Brother Paul said, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Amen. And if in this life only we live for Christ, we are yet of all men most miserable. But the life that we now live by the faith of the Son of God is to be lived in such a way that we are laying up treasures not necessarily for ourselves, but for Christ on the other side, in that which is to come. I do believe there is a life to come. I'm a believer. The grave is not the end of the line. In fact, for a child of God, death is just the beginning. I mean, when we die, things are picking up for a real child of God. Amen. I tell you, there awaits a joyful occasion for those of us when we pass on. In fact, for comfort of the family that's here today, I don't know about their daddy, but the Bible said, blessed in the eyes of the Lord is the death of His saints. And it is a blessing to our God when those that He lived and died for give away their life to death in the flesh and rise in the clouds to meet the Lord Jesus Christ in His heavenly abode. Happy and blessed it is in His wonderful and holy name. Now, in these verses of chapter 7, we find an invitation from this little old bride. And she is requesting the presence of the bridegroom. She said, in the field and in the villages and in the vineyards. And as she extends an invitation for His divine presence, she has the assurance that the graces of the Spirit is flourishing within her heart. If I may break that down to something we can get a hold of, before she divinely invites Him into the house of God, she is sure that everything is all right between Him and her. That work that He has done in her life by giving of her the Holy Spirit of God and those graces of love, joy, peace, and so forth that come with His possession and presence are divinely working. They're flourishing within her heart. In other words, she said, everything is ready for Your presence. I'm ready to solace myself in divine and holy love. I wonder this morning if we could really say that. If the door of the church was to open and Christ in person was to walk in, could we really say within our hearts that, Lord, I have made myself divinely ready for Your holy presence today? Would I be ashamed at Your presence? Would I rejoice in Your presence? Would I have fear in Your presence? Would I worship in Your presence? Or would I bow and humbly adore the nail-pierced feet of the Lord Jesus that hanged upon the cross of Calvary and gave His life that sinners might be saved? Let me ask you, are you ready? Is the graces of the Spirit divinely flourishing in your heart today? I want to say, hey, this is not boasting. She is not vainly boasting. But she, in humble sincerity, friend, acknowledges that what she has found in herself is to His praise and His glory. I will back up. She had found something within her own heart. My goodness, she said the mandrakes are giving a good smell. And at thy gates there is all manner of pleasant fruit. And I have laid those up just especially for you, O my beloved. And she has recognized that the work of grace that has been done in her heart has been done to the praise and the glory of Almighty God. You know, I'm afraid so often that we praise Him because of what He's done for us, and we're rejoicing in that, and we ought to be. But I'm here to tell you, my friend, she realizes that everything that has been accomplished in her has been accomplished to the praise and the glory of Almighty God. Oh, somebody said, now, Brother Hall, I've been pretty good, and I've worked here, and you know, and I've got pretty well accredited by the heart of Almighty God. I'm telling you, when we've done all that is required of us, we yet ought to say that we are nothing but an unprofitable servant. Blessed be His name. Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God and the work of grace that God has done upon us. We ought to give Him the divine praise and glory for it. But I said, what are you saying, preacher? I want to thank Him. I'm not what I used to be. Amen to God. And I'm not what I'm going to be, as the old black preacher said either. Hallelujah. I owe it all to Jesus. All to Him I owe. If you could have seen me like I was, hey, I'm glad that you didn't. But I believe we've all had our conversation in the world in time past, and we can all testify that what we were before we met Jesus. Oh, but when Christ passed by our way, friend, old things passed away and all things became new, and a divine work took place in our heart. A sovereign work of grace, my friend, accomplished there by the power of the Holy Ghost. And I want to praise Him for what He's done in my heart. Amen. I'm glad He still knows how to lift a drunk out of his own vomit. And He knows how to get a prostitute out of the dens of iniquity. He can, amen, He can save thieves and thugs and crooks and criminals and dishonest people. He can even save those that are moral within their own selves. I tell you, I'm glad this morning that He come to seek and to save sinners and to bring them out of their sins. She realizes that she is now acceptable to Him, having been made acceptable in the Beloved. I guarantee you that's the only way any sinner will ever get to God is through Christ. God accepts us in Him. We're accepted in the Beloved. And she realizes that she's no longer an outcast. She's a real child of God, acceptable to Him, and that the grace and the labor that He has bestowed upon her has not been in vain. These statements are a confirmation of her faith, both expecting and receiving what she had prayed for. She had prayed for His presence, been accepted by Him, and now she invites Him, having made all things ready for Him, and guess what? He accepts that divine invitation. He shows up in her life. And I'm here to tell you, friend, if we'll walk right, do right, spit white, amen to God, that He'll show up around the house of God every now and then that we might worship Him. Our visitors may think Jerome's acting strange, but he ain't strange. He does this every week. Now, three or four things, and I'll get to my thought. I want to say that the fruit of the Spirit of graces that's working in her is now ripe. That is, they are in their flower. You don't see too many flowers or too many fruits give off a fragrance until they are in blossom or in bloom. And she said the mandrakes, which, by the way, are a little old basket shaped like fruit that grows in the field in that part of the country. And I'll get into that a little bit tonight. But she said, the mandrakes give a good smell. That is, my friend, that the Spirit to her is now ripe. She is in full bloom. If you please, she is now living in the fullness of the Spirit of God. Oh, if there's ever a need in our Baptist churches today, it's for God's people to realize that there is a Bible doctrine called being filled with the Holy Ghost of God, not being drunk with wine, whereas in excess, but being filled with the Holy Ghost, my friend. Then we act like there's no such doctrine. And if there is, it's for Pentecostals and Second Blessed Nazarenes. Well, what about us once blessed Baptists that are yet around? Hallelujah to God. Oh, yes, look here. And look at the results. You know what the results of being filled with the Spirit is? The Bible said, and be not drunk with wine, whereas in excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. And hey, He goes on to give the evidence of that spiritual life. And it's not, bless your heart, talking with some foreign tongue like folks want to profess it to be today. No, sir. I've been filled with the Holy Ghost a number of times, and I ain't never spoke anything but English. Now, I can say, ¿Cómo está usted, señor? How are you? I can say, the food is delicioso. It's rica. But I'm going to tell you, friend, when it comes to speaking for God, I've been doing all right in the English language.
And I've been pretty full of God from time to time. In fact, bless your heart, I'm just about to get to where I want to get in Him this morning. Hallelujah.
Amen. I know that is right. Here is the evidence of being filled. Be not drunk with wine, where is an excess, but be you filled with the Spirit. Speak into yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart unto the Lord and unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So now, thankful are you this morning? Amen. Thanks always. Giving thanks always for all things. How thankful are you this morning? How joyful are you this morning? Is there any melody in your heart today? Why are you so morose and downcast? If we're saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, there ought to be a song in our heart to get out of there through our lip gate this morning. I know sometimes situations deprive us of that joy. But you can't keep a good man down. And you can't keep the Holy Ghost from showing up. I'm going to tell you something. Hey, if I filled that glass up with water, if I filled it with water, what do you think would run out of that glass? Grape juice? Vinegar? If I filled that glass with water, I guarantee you, and kept on pouring, water is going to run out the top of it. And son, if you fill yourself with the Holy Ghost of God, the Spirit of God is going to run out of you somewhere down the line. Either in a thankful heart, or a song in your soul, or some melody in your spirit. Oh yes, or being thankful for what God's done in your life. Bless His wonderful name. I want to say secondly, she is graciously adorned with a great variety of fruits. The Bible said there that the mandrakes give a smell, and at our gates are all manner of pleasant fruits. Nothing unpleasant. Amen. How many in here ever smelled papaya? It stinks. Smells like a dirty pair of socks that you've worn in Vietnam and kept on for about 3 weeks without taking a bath and getting your boots off. Not that kind of fruit. She says all manner of pleasant fruit. Amen. And where are they at? They're at the gates. Amen. They're at the gates. Did He not liken us to a garden? I thought about preaching it out on garden gates. Hallelujah to God there. And by the way, that crop, that fruit has flourished so well that you can't contain it. It's full. You can't contain the fruit in the rows you planted it in. It's like a watermelon vine. It's already spread to the gates of the garden. Amen. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying, brother, if we're filled up with the right kind of Spirit of God and our vine is flourishing and there's all manner of pleasant fruits, that at the gate, buddy, at the front door, somebody will know something is going on just by walking through the front door of the building. They get a smell coming from the front door of the building. Huh? That is right. All manner of pleasant fruit. Did not Brother Paul said, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Against such there is no law. Not just one fruit, but a whole lot of fruits making up the fruit of the Spirit. Amen to God. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to say thirdly, there is both the preservation, get this now, I wanted to preach on this entirely this morning. There is both the preservation of the old and the growth of the new. For she said, at our gates are all manner of pleasant fruits, new and old. Not just something that just developed today, but that fruit which God gave me a year ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, I have preserved that fruit also. Hallelujah. In other words, you don't lose it. Now, our General Baptist folks want to tell us that we can lose it. And our Pentecostal friends tell us that we're not careful we can lose it. But my Bible said at that gate, friend, is all manner of fruits, both new and old. That which God bestowed way back down yonder is still as
effective in my life. Providing a yes, a prayer, fragrant prayer, fragrant in my own life. There's some pleasant fruits there, both new and old. There has apparently been an increase in the believer's graces, for there's old fruit and there's new fruit. She has apparently reached a new degree in love and faith. There's an old fruit and a new fruit. And she has preserved the old and yet brings forth the new likewise. I hope you can get a hold of that this morning. Matthew 13:52. In that great parable on the sower, the parables of Matthew 13, verse 52 of that chapter, then said he that is the Lord unto them, therefore every scribe which is instructed unto the kingdom of heaven is likened to a man that is a householder which bringeth forth out of his treasure things new and old. Somebody said, I'm backslidden. Baloney. Both new and old.
Amen.
That which God done for me 30 years ago when He saved me by His grace, and that fruit that began to develop in my life, God forbid that I should let slip what I've already learned. Oh no, I maintain that which I've learned, but I press on toward the mark of the high prize of the calling of God. I've known preachers, you know, that after they get mature, they let down their standards. They learn better. I learned just last night, one of the families that's been here in our church, it's a member down in a church in Georgia. They kicked out on the preacher. Said they learned more and grew more in another place than what they did there. I'm going to tell you what their problem is. Are you listening to me? You know what they are? And I know both the churches, and I'm not being critical. I'm using this as an illustration. They're like a hawk that's going back to root in their own hog trough, and mine in a, like a dog going back to his own vomit, friend. We don't backpedal on God. What He gives us when we're saved by the grace of God, we maintain it through our life and yet continue to grow in grace and knowledge. Amen. I know that is right. The parable. There's a parable in the book of Luke, chapter 19, about the 10 pounds and how the Lord distributes those pounds. And the Bible said in verse 16 of that chapter, then he came he to the first, saying, Lord, thy pound I lost. Thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. He said, I've got the same little old pound you gave me, Lord. But along with that pound, I got 10 more. That makes me 11. I didn't even have to give that. Hey, you don't have to give up a thing to go on serving your God. Nobody. Have we gained anything today? I won't say this to you. Where the old is preserved, there will be found new also. Otherwise, what seemed once to blossom becomes almost withered. We don't forget what God's done for us in the past. We're laying up treasures in heaven, and the treasures He endowed us with years ago, my friend, is yet laid up, and He expects us to lay up those treasures and yet gain new for the glory and honor of God. Don't just lay up one little thing and quit. We just keep on laying it up. Woo! And that which we lay up ain't no moth gonna rust and moth. And ain't no thieves gonna get in there where it's at. I wonder what happens when some of the fruit withers. Huh? Or seems to wither. What have we forgotten? I'm gonna tell you what Paul said in Hebrews 2:1, then I'll make the statement. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. Amen. lest at any time we should let them slip. In other words, buddy, we better give heed to what we've already heard, what we've already laid up, what we already possess, and at the same time, God producing new graces for the glory of God. Fruit, John 15, more fruit, and much fruit laid up for God.
Amen. That is right. Don't let it wither on you. I want to say believers who seriously, tenderly, and humbly follow holiness may attain great heights of it.
Amen.
But they ain't no stopping point. We've never touched a hem of His garment.
Amen.
Somebody said something in the church this morning about persecuting Baptists, and I don't want to get into all that. But I'm going to tell you something, friend. If all we're persecuted for is because we got the right kind of a haircut and put on the right kind of clothes, we're pretty sorry Baptists.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you what will persecute us. We start standing on the cardinal doctrines of the Bible. And there's not a term in the Bible, once saved, always saved. But I'm going to tell you what term is in the Bible. My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. Son, when you start telling some of that crowd out there that what you have in God, you cannot lose in God, I'm going to tell you, they will raise up to browbeat and persecute you right quickly. I heard a fellow by the name of Jimmy Swaggart years ago. He made this statement. He said, the Baptists, the worst thing about them is their damnable doctrine of once saved, always saved. You can call it what you want. I'm going to tell you what I call it. Grace!
Yes.
Continued grace, abundant mercy, love, and real Bible hope that God's given me. Huh? You can go on. The Bible said in Hebrews 12:14, follow peace with all men and holiness. Follow holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. We're to follow holiness. That means there's no stopping. Now, I want to ask you something. If we're following holiness and we're not stopping, does that mean that we lose the holiness we once acquired? Do we lose what we've already attained that we might attain more? God forbid that we should backslide to gain. That don't even make sense. Because it's treasures laid up. Why can't you lose them? They're laid up for Him, son. He's got His ownership stamp upon every treasure that we lay up over on the other side. Hallelujah to His wonderful name. Amen. The gains that she had made, and those preserved, were never used for common purpose. They were laid up for Him. Not for us, church. What are some treasures? I've only got three. We'll be done in a minute. We've only got three this morning. What would you think they'd be? If I'd asked Pastor around the paper this morning, what would you think your treasures would be laid up? Now, I'm talking about things that are there.
Amen.
I know they're there.
Amen.
Because the Bible declares them to be there.
Right.
What are you laboring for? A mansion on this hilltop? I've got news for you. If you think your treasure over there is a mansion on that hilltop, you're miserable. There's greater treasures than a building. There's greater treasures than wealth. Greater treasures than health. I'm glad that we've got treasures on the other side that man can't rob us of. Health can't deprive us of. Death can't take away from us. They're laid out for Him. Listen carefully. I hope this don't grieve none of you. I think the precious tears that we shed, they're laid up over there, friend. Somebody said, preacher, you talk like a fool. Oh, no. Brother David said in Psalm 56:8, thou tellest my wanderings. Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? What, Brother Hall, your tears? When was the last time you shed a few this morning?
Or are you so stone hard, cold, dead this morning that you don't know how to cry? Oh, big men don't cry. That's what the backers say. The backers don't know real men.
Amen.
Ain't a man ever walked, son, any greater than our Lord. And the Bible said, John 11, 35, Jesus wept.
Amen.
I stood, and I think at Backyard Burgers and Set, rather, and saw pictures of our president as he wept in front of the whole world on national television. And said he got word back from some of his colleagues that that was a sign of weakness. They're morons. They're idiots. They're stupid. Is there anything weak about having a heart? I've wept. And I weigh 156 pounds. 5'10" tall. Now I don't know a man I've run from yet. And don't bless God intend to start today.
Amen.
Tears are a treasure laid up, son, for him that you cannot be robbed of.
Amen.
Somebody said tears for what? When's the last time you shed some tears for your children?
Right.
When Jesus was being crucified and he turned and looked at those women that followed him, tears within their eyes, Jesus turned unto them and said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children."
Amen.
Have we really, son, have we really cried, wept, shed hot tears for those that we love, those little babies that we brought into the world, went down into the jaws of death, mama, to bring them into the world? Do you know what it means to weep and cry and beg God for their souls? Every one of those tears are in a bottle, written in a book, laid up as a treasure on the other side. Wonder why our kids aren't getting saved. Why drugs is destroying America. Why illicit sex is, HIV is destroying our world. Weep not for me, Jesus said. Weep for yourselves and for your children. I'm telling you, I've got a heart for these little ones that's coming up in the society that we're living in.
Amen.
I champion this soldier that's here today that's given 23 years of his life, my friend, to keep peace and order in the world to the best of his ability, following orders. But I'm going to tell you what, we'll only have peace in the world until when the Lord Jesus comes to set up that. But I said that to say this, we may not have peace in the world. Jesus said, "I didn't come to give peace, but a sword." Some there will be division in the world, but I'm glad. Thank God we can have peace in our hearts this morning.
Amen.
Now I think of these children that are going to grow up in this society. And some of you young kids, like Jerry's grandkids, they think the world is a wonderful, fun place to live in. There's only one problem. They ain't got out in the real world yet. They've not yet tasted of the hog pen in a far country a great deal yet.
Amen.
You think there's fun in the hog pen?
No.
I like what Brother Brown said about that hog pen, that prodigal son. The other day he said, "You ever been in a hog pen? You folks in here been in a hog pen?" He said, "It'll take a long time to get the stink off of you," and it's a fact. And even after you take a bath, get the stink off of you, for some reason it settles up in your sinuses. You can smell it for a long time. I'm telling you, young people, the hog pen's got a real stench to it. Or you think it's fun cruising the mall and boop, bop a 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 boop. I'm going to tell you, if I'd have had the power in that right hand, going to Gatlinburg and coming back, if I'd have been strong like I want to be, I'd have plunged my right hand into the very radio cords of that radio in my automobile and pulled it out by guts, cords and all, and slung it down off over a hill.
Amen.
It ain't no wonder.
Amen.
The world's got a hold of them, and mommy and daddy are not broken for them. Give a ragtag flip about their soul.
Amen.
Tears, friend,
for our children? What about tears of Christian adoration? In Luke 7, I've used this so many times, but little old Mary, little old harlot, crawled up at the feet of Jesus, stood behind Him weeping, and began to wash His feet with her tears. Now, I'm going to tell you what, friend. She wasn't feeling sorry for Him. That was tears of adoration.
Amen.
Thankfulness. Oh, I'm telling you, we get down to prayer and we'll pray about 3 minutes and it's all over.
Right.
Son, when was the last time the hot tears of joy run down our cheeks and we bowed humbly at the feet of the Lord Jesus?
Right.
My friend with tears in her eyes and adored Him.
Amen.
For His unspeakable gift. He has kept you out of hell.
Amen.
I wonder if we really get a hold of that.
Amen.
That we've been delivered from the penalty, the power, the pleasure, someday the presence of sin.
Amen.
Christian adoration. We're a million years behind on adoring our blessed Savior. What about the tears of a Christ-like attitude? Come on in the house now. Brother Paul said in Romans 12:15, rejoice with them that do rejoice and weep.
Amen.
And weep with them that weep.
Amen.
When was the last time we had that kind of a Christ-like attitude and wept with those that are weeping?
Amen.
I stood at the head of Brother Billy Wicks on Wednesday. And I made it pretty good. Standing by the head of that casket and bringing that message, and I stood at the head of that casket and I made it all right, but I'm going to tell you, I couldn't hardly control myself when I saw brothers and sisters and family as they stood beside that casket looking into the face of old Brother Billy for some of them, unless they get right with God for the last go-round, friend.
Amen.
And I saw their eyes red from weeping and the tears that began to run down their cheek, and their tears brought tears to my eyes.
Amen.
Grief to my heart, not for me, not for Billy, but for them. Weep with them that do weep. And I hope you won't think me morose or stupid or ignorant to say this, but last night when me and Benny picked him up and headed up there to see Brother Frazier, we headed up that hill and the traffic was there. Benny said, oh, it's Buck. Oh, Bucky, Bucky. And that little fella got out on his knees by that little old dog like it was a child. I said, when I went and prayed, I said, Lord, that dog is just a dog, but my boy and my daughter-in-law, Lord, they don't walk on all fours. They got two legs and a heart, and that heart is grieved. And I beg God, you call me what you want. I beg God to spare that little old dog. Why? Because I was touched with the feeling of their infirmities. I wonder if we're really got a Christ-like attitude anymore, that we can really be touched when somebody else is broken and powerful.
Amen.
And weeping in their soul. Funerals don't even hurt us. Death don't even grieve us. Sickness won't get the job done. My God, how adamant are we this morning that we can't weep anymore when people weep and cry when they cry, even rejoice when they rejoice. That's a Christ-like attitude, friend. Tears. Tears that we shed are laid up in a bottle, and I'm trying to hurry. What about the prayers that we say? Carefully, I'll be done. If you can go, just give me a few more minutes, Brother. Then I'll be done. Revelation 8:3-5 said, and another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer. And there was given unto him much incense that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints.
Amen.
You realize your prayers are on the golden altar, friend. I'm telling you, that's why God will eventually answer every prayer of a child of God. They're on the golden altar. Laid up, that treasure laid up just for Him.
Amen.
And it said, which is before the throne, the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the angel, with the prayers of the saints, ascended up before God. And the angel's hand send up before God. I don't have time to go into that, but God's always above the altar.
Woo!
Look at the altar in the tabernacle. His glory is still above it. Then the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into the earth.
and there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. Son, I'm here to tell you the prayers that we prayed and laid up will someday bring an earthquake on this earth. Bring voices and thunderings.
I wondered what those voices were. Oh, dear God, save my loving brother. Save my loving sister. And we might go to them. We might go to them. Dear brother, I'm a praying for you. God's laid you on my heart, and I'd like for you to be saved. Well, not today, Gary. I know you're praying for me. Lord, please. Ernie, please. Randall, please. Shirley, please. I've got you on my heart. I want you to be saved. Oh, but Gary, not today, not today. There's coming an hour. Some of those prayers I prayed that's laying on the altar in heaven, that angel of God will cast those prayers into the earth, and the voices that's heard maybe, my God, why didn't I listen? My God, why didn't I yield? My God, why didn't I come to Christ? Oh, the thunderings may be the palpitations of a sinner's heart as it rages in his bosom for rejecting the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Thunderings and an earthquake. That's a treasure you can lay up, friend. Prayers for the souls of men. Prayers for the souls of men. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Prayers for our enemies. Matthew 5:44. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that use you. And pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. Oh, what treasures. Prayers for our rulers. I wonder if the reason we're not in the mess we're in is that we forgot to pray for our president. Somebody said, oh, Bill Clinton was a sorry old rascal. Yes, he was. How much did you pray for it? Somebody said, don't have to pray for him. Brother Paul said in 1 Timothy 2:1, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, given to thanks, be made for all men.
Amen.
For kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life with all godliness and honesty.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, some of our senators wouldn't appreciate me right now. But yes, I agree. I'm not a Pat Robertson fan, but I agree that part of the chaos that we're experiencing right now is because of our rebellion, because of our leniency towards sodomites and towards, that's right, and lesbians and that crowd. Oh, it's an alternate lifestyle. God rain fire and brimstone upon. And I know these folks have a retired military and in the military, but I'm telling you, I spent a year and 13 days in the Army, 4 years, 1 month, and 5 days in Uncle Sam's Army, and I didn't want no queer crawling up in a bunker or a foxhole or a bed beside me when I was in there.
Amen.
And I didn't even know how they feel, nor really care.
Amen.
It ain't no wonder God has pulled His hand off of our country. And the final thing, I'll close with this. Precious tears we shed, the prayers that we say. And I think the personal deeds of service that we do. Listen. Matthew 10:42. And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall not in no wise lose His reward.
Amen.
Wonder where that reward's at. Same place those prayers and those tears are.
Amen.
A songwriter said, this world is not my home, I'm only passing through.
My
treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. For where your treasure is,
amen,
there will your heart be also. My heart is set on heaven, buddy. Ooh, I got a longing to go. When was the last time you went that extra mile? So when was the last time I did? Boy, I'm telling you, God preached to my heart over that. He said in Matthew 5:41, whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go twice. Go two with him. I'm going to tell you something, that's a good treasure. I believe when we stand at the judgment seat, He'll say, well, here's your vial of tears. I'm going to tell you what I'd like to have. I'd like to have an aquarium full.
Amen. Yes, sir.
That aquarium down there held six, at Gatlinburg holds 630,000 gallons of water.
Man.
I like to have an aquarium full. What about prayers on the golden altar? I'd like to have bunches and bunches of them. I'd like to hear Him say, when I stand there, I remember that day you done so and so and you done this and you done. I'm afraid right now I might be a little embarrassed. What about it? The mad race, give a smell. At thy gates are all manner of pleasant fruits, and I've laid them up for thee, my beloved. All for you. Everything I've done, all I ever hope to be, all I ever hope to accomplish, I do it for you.
Amen.
I'd like to sing song number 8 for an invitation this morning as we stand together. I gave my life for thee. Benny, would you get that brown jacket back there for me?
Amen.